medical stuff. I just made it that.
It's off.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
Are we here?
Still 71, though. 71.
Romans 1. We spent a lot of time, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We always profess ourselves to be wise when we think that we know what to do. When we think that we have a solution or an answer to anything that's within the constraints of time. Because the wisdom of God, there's no way that we can concern ourselves with the way things are in time and space and still be or be a part of the wisdom of God. So from God's perspective, every time that you get judgmental, that you think you're right, that you've got a position, then what you are doing in God's eyes is professing yourself to be wise. And it never stops. And it covers the smallest details. Can everybody understand that? Because the wisdom of God is only using time and space for antagonism. Now, you just watch it. You watch how people who say they know God just walk and profess themselves to be wise because they know what to do and they know the way things should be. And it goes on and on and on and on. They're really all the same thing. I mean, it's like, you remember we've talked often about when the Lord's Prayer said, "Hallowed be thy name," and you can't hallow his name if you're complaining or have a complaint about something. You hallow his name by seeing the same thing that he does in terms of, and so these momentary feelings of righteousness are abomination unto God. And until that's seen, then you have to understand righteousness and thinking, being right, and then or complaining, they're the same thing. They're the opposite of the glory of God, they're the opposite of hallowing his name, and they're the opposite of wisdom. And again, we can watch ourselves. What?
I had an experience this morning where I'm walking and I'm in the cauldron mixing things up, realizing that you can't expect to walk with God and be strong. And so I said, okay, well then I'll be weak. And it just hit me in the face, no matter which way you go, you're self-seeking. Because you hear the stuff and you say, all right, well, but your mind is always looking for a way to capitalize on that.
Well, that's why. I mean, the only way we can see properly is to see all in time and space as empty, as void, as without meaning. You know, its only function is to see whether anything in time and space can take you off the mercy seat, can take you away of this feeling, this becoming empty before Him, which is really what faith is. What?
Well, the first thing you said, I mean, like a ton of bricks. What God's doing in time and space is, I mean, His purpose is antagonism. It's not accomplishing things. It's not building buildings or, it's not what we think it is. It's antagonism.
He was talking to you last night.
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's.
Well, let me give you a small example of what, just this is minuscule and it could have been about anybody, but since I'm familiar with Harry. When you walked over here,
right. There
was a big, huge rut,
right. Because
things weren't the way you thought they should be, and
right. So
you became totally and completely consumed with righteousness. It changed the way you walked. It changed your attitude, your countenance, and you became a fool.
For what?
It was because stuff was out of place here. And he even threw away a chocolate cookie just because of his own feeling of righteousness. That's pretty big.
That is pretty big, especially
here.
Where is it?
It's not thrown away. It's just sitting in the pan. But the point of it is, it's unless we can see and repent from these things that we do by nature, then I might as well just you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and for tomorrow you die. Doesn't matter whether you're complaining or you're using that which is cursed to try to gain that which is blessed. It doesn't matter. It's a seeing the emptiness of human life as we know it, without taking a stand in any arena, whether it be interpersonal relationships, or whether it be politics, or whether it be anything. It's because. The only question is that momentary feeling of being right, or of just the self-righteousness, is that worth your birthright? And it gets boring to keep calling people on it. But there has to be some willingness on your part, some knowledge. Unless you don't believe anything that we studied in Ecclesiastes. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What?
Well, you know, you've got the best, and then you've got the good. We think the stuff is good, and we add that to the best, and that's what wrecks it. And on this topic, I'm trying to add, like, I know it's good that the love of the brethren is evidence of fellowship, and so I elevate that pretty high. It's like, I want to add that to what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, and I want to add that to it.
Yeah, and when you add something to it, then it becomes... There's love of the brethren because He is love. But if we try to add something on a should or an ought to, or this, it's added to it, then you resurrected the evil one. And you, professing yourself to be wise, you become a fool.
I'm trying to see, what would we say? Human life is empty and vain and futile.
That's what the whole this 8-month study of the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, but you know, in a way, I was thinking, you know, if that's the case, I think that's it. I think you got it. But anyway, I'm going to say it again. It's like if human life is empty, vain, you. Then what the heck is there to live
for? For him.
Well, you bring it.
Well, you probably should. It doesn't matter. Well, that's why they fired at me as a suicide counselor.
You were pro-suicide?
Well, I said, everything is hopeless. I said, you're right. As long as you're judging your life on the basis of sensory perception, then all evidence indicates that it has no purpose. But when you finally see and agree with that and find out that, my God, the purpose is greater than anything I could have even imagined, for within me, my life is to be a vessel for the Holy One. And that any time I concern myself with me, then I, because again, His humility. What we think is humility is the ultimate in pride. We think humility is shyness. Or, you know, all the timidity. That's just pride. And we think we're being spiritual when we really just give all of our... We pray about everything, but our prayers are how we want it to be. That's not praying.
That's what Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You can search and search and search and you won't find it.
We are vessels. We must be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. And that renewing does not mean learning a bunch of new stuff. It means the renewing is anakinesis, the gradual conforming to that which is, whiz, it was, is, and will be. It's a conforming to the mind of Christ, which is a constant emptying of self. A refusal to minister to self. A refusal to concern yourself with your own thoughts and ideas, your own emotions. Because you know that concerning yourself with that is the meaning of emptiness, foolishness, void. It's either all Him or no Him. And what you've got to see is at any given second, it can be all Him or no Him. Because of this, the reason for this is His humility. Now watch. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, or four-footed beast, or creeping things. But it's made, the image that you change the glory of God into is some success or something that you can tangibly see. This isn't dismissing it back to those idol makers back in the olden days. This is elevating idolatry to the second that you believe something should be a certain way, at that second, if there's no repentance, if there's no abandonment of self, at that second, you become Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody have any understanding what I'm saying? You're either totally perfect, totally complete, totally exactly as you should be, everything around you and everything in the universe exactly as it is should be that way. Or you've got all of these issues to deal with. And the purpose of the scripture is to show you how extensive those issues are. You've got to go build the temple. You've got to raise all the funds. You've got to find the spotless animals for the sacrifice. You've got to find the Ark of the Covenant. You've got to find the ashes of the red heifer. Oh, that doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know what all that means. Well, it's either law, and this shows what the law requires if you're going to live that way, and it doesn't matter what you think about it, or it shows total grace, perfection of holiness. And those are the only positions. But we are satisfied to be in this humongous twilight. No matter how many times you've learned the lesson, you get something you want. Oh, mommy, I want that toy. Okay, you get the toy, and then pretty soon you go start playing with a stick. It's the same thing today. It's either all finished, his sacrifice is complete, and you can dismiss this. You can say, well, that's fine. That's a good theological framework. But that you can't dismiss it. You have to live it. You have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. You have to revenge your, not somebody else's disobedience, yours. We cast down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience has been fulfilled. The only purpose of time and space in this context then is the renewal of your mind. That you would see, you would confess the Lord Jesus. You would say, homologia, say the same thing. But it's the same message in every page of this Bible. Then how can we return to the beggarly, stupid ideas of our own mind? Well, this is what I think about that. Nobody cares what I think about them, and nobody cares what you think about them. Because otherwise, you're just professing yourself to be wise, but you're living as a fool.
There's almost a little contradiction here, because on the one hand, you accept yourself finally as the way you are, without condition, quit judging yourself. Then you become a fool. And now you're not okay. You're not perfect.
Because it's your mind that you've put back in the... You've put the Antichrist on the throne.
But it's like, isn't it all in the economy of God for His purposes that
everything in the economy of God.
So that the mystery can be seen. I mean, there's no way you can stop it from happening. And if you try to stop it, then you become religious, pharisaical, trying not to do the bad thing so that you won't be the fool, when in fact you are the fool. And by being the fool, you see and you repent. So you can't leave anything out.
Nobody's leaving anything out.
Well, that's kind of what I'm hearing a little bit, that on one hand you're perfect, but then as soon as you do this stuff, which we all do, you're imperfect.
Because you return to the weak and beggarly elements of the world.
So then you're not perfect anymore. And now it's not in the economy, God.
He's trying to trick you out.
Gary,
I mean,
you got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding at all. I mean, it's all or nothing. And to me,
how long have you been here?
Oh, that's not a good question.
Somebody asked you that question. What would you say to them?
I would say everything is there ultimately to reveal God. What it is.
Again, we've gone through this 100 times when we were meeting before. But remember, yeah. Well, God's using my this and this and this. Yeah, He's using everything, but He won't use you. You're either the birth or the afterbirth. Everything in time and space is for the birth or the perfection of the bride. Even the antagonism. And everything in your mind is the antagonism. It's the only enemy. That's its function, to be the enemy. The question is whether or not you believe it. And my concern for you and everybody I talk to is that you, instead of perfecting you, I mean, instead of presenting you perfect in Christ, what is presented is this and that, up and down, up and down, up and down. You don't have to keep going back and forth. You don't have to return to the flesh. Ever. You don't have to once ever from this point forward leave again the mercy seat. Can you accept that?
Well, yeah, it's just that there's a thing about, I've been here 30 years, and I'm expressing what I know and what is to me.
And I know you are.
And so are you saying I need 30 more years?
No, you didn't need 30 years, you needed 1 second.
Okay. I would suggest that there's not a different soul in the room that doesn't go through stuff, and it's almost like it's, you either accept the way you are completely and pray God gives you the opportunity to repent at these points.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Peter chapter 3.
What?
2 Peter.
Let me hear this.
Verse 8.
Wait a minute, I'm not there.
Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And that means, remember we've studied this 100 times, conversation means your walk, your manner of life, and godliness means your thoughts, your thought process. Seeing what manner of persons we ought to be in all holy conversation, in our walk and in our thoughts. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be? I'm just for that. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And count that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Now, what this is saying to us is we can't, it's what we've said 1,000 times. We can never, if we ever leave the mercy seat, we're on the judgment seat. And it can't be excused in your own mind. You can't have an excuse for it. Because I promise you, if there's the slightest excuse for it, then pretty soon it'll become more and more lukewarm, more and more excused, more and more justified. Until pretty soon, there's no difference between everything else. Everything has just gone into miasma. And so we have to keep, we are alert so that we bring every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so it's not, we can't.
And this is how we not leave the mercy seat.
Right. Remember the whole basis of what we did for 10 years was you have to see that today is judgment day. This, not just today, this next second. And that's how you live. So that forces you always, and that's what true repentance is, to force you on the mercy seat, to see that your life is gone, to see it's only Him. And that's all I'm saying. And I pray that I've had that same zeal from the first day I opened my mouth. So, again, Gary, what it sounds like from this side of the table is that what you are saying excuses rebellion. And I'm sure in your mind you're not saying I'm not excusing it, I'm just saying what happens. In my mind, that excuses rebellion. And I think in Peter's mind, from what we just read.
Well, I certainly hope that's not what I'm saying, and I don't feel like I am. But to me, it's all a matter of whatever's happening, it's all so that this is seen clearly, so that the experiential stuff that takes place all accrues to the same mystery of not exerting yourself, but observing.
But that,
to me, that is excusing the disobedience. It's saying, this is what's going to happen today. I'm going to leave the mercy seat, but that's God, because I need to leave the mercy seat so I can see what the mercy seat is.
You know, that what you just said, Gary, just makes me cry. Yeah. I don't think you really mean it.
I'd say I'm hearing it the same way too.
There's something, Gary. There's something that occurred to me a couple minutes ago, because I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But you set up a kind of a straw man thing there. It was you're going along, everything's fine, you're perfect exactly the way you are until you start doing this stuff, and then you're not perfect. It's kind of like what you constructed. But I think one of the things you're not thinking about is the fact that, okay, Satan's perfect. The Antichrist is perfect, doing exactly what he's supposed to do. And he's not part of the bride. And he's the afterbirth. And who am I manifesting right at this moment, every moment? Digital, on, off, in, out. Who is it? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it Antichrist? Is it Satan? Is it the
Son?
It's perfect.
Is it faith or is it no faith? I mean, what happened to your understanding that all men died on the cross?
Didn't change.
Then who is it that's doing this thing? You're doing the stuff of, well, I'm just going around and doing, and all of a sudden I'm doing all this stuff over here that you were talking about. Who is it that's doing that? Is it Gary? No, Gary is an invention. Gary is a straw man to hide his true identity. And again, what you're saying implies some kind of a time is necessary for in order to be to see it. Because you said, do I have to be here another 30 years? You saw this. I remember specifically the first time you saw it. We were sitting when you were living with me back on Cedar Springs at a particular night when you saw perfectly. And everything was finished and everything was over and everything was perfect.
Yeah, from my point of view, that hasn't changed, and what I've said doesn't change that.
From what I hear you say, is you're excusing the rebellion. You're saying time is necessary again.
I don't feel like I'm saying that. I mean, that's what you hear.
Well,
it's almost like this is the knife edge of the... of the walk to me.
Yeah, it's never leaving the mercy seat, never.
Yeah.
And seeing it as crucifying the Son of God afresh, if you do. And seeing it as you're trotting the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing, if you do that.
Yeah, and I don't see where what I've said means that I've left the mercy seat so I can go look at something. I mean. That's what
you said, Gary.
But is this what the mercy seat's like?
No, the mercy seat is looking at everything, and you've gone everywhere, and you've seen everything, and you know the vanity and futility of all human effort.
Okay, I agree with that.
But did you get seduced by it for a minute? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe just something you see, but to me it more reveals the mercy, reveals the fullness of him.
But you said it no matter what you're doing. That's what your predicate for all this was. No matter what you're thinking, no matter what you're doing, I'm just going to go out and do it, and then I believe that God will fix it.
Well, then the opposite of that is what?
Opposite of that is to agree what we spent the last 8-10 months studying.
And of course I do. Or what would I say?
But then why would you excuse going back to that which is?
But I did not excuse it. That's how you hear it.
But it wasn't just me that heard it that way.
You have an opportunity. You can listen to what you said. Fortunately, it's all been recorded. You can go back and listen to it. I used to do that. I was amazed. Yeah, because I'd be absolutely convinced that at Bible study the evening before I'd been attacked. For no reason whatsoever, and then I'd listen, and I'd go, oh, shit.
No, and I encourage you to do that.
You should listen.
I've always encouraged you to do that. I mean, to push everything to the limit.
I agree with that. To me, this is what it is.
What came out of your mouth was excusing, leaving it, and just going and floating along, going back to this thing just because you forgot, or it excused getting mad at somebody, or it could be a thousand things because it was leaving the mercy seat. There's nothing for you to do except to see. If you see, you can't possibly leave the mercy seat. If you say you've seen the emptiness and futility of all things, there's no way you could leave the mercy seat. Unless you enjoy playing with your own dung.
It's like Eve taking the fruit, saying, you know, this would give God an opportunity to really show who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, better.
That's a subtle comment. That's a subtle mental process, more subtle than any beast of the field. It's able to take and took. Did God really? Will you really? It's that.
Am I really?
Tricky manipulation, witty inventions.
And am I really in rebellion against God when I'm not in the mercy seat? Have I really crucified him again?
Surely not.
Yes, you have. Yes, I have.
Surely the pain of death is past.
Yeah.
I mean, this may have happened for somebody in here, or it may have happened for somebody that's listening. Because, I mean, this has happened with us 5,000 times, 5 million times maybe in the last 30 years. And you keep saying, we're just saying the same thing. No, we're not. What I said to you is exactly diametrically opposite of what you said earlier. It's not just a little bit different or a different interpretation. And if that's what you think, that's fine. That's your business. But that's really the opposite of what I teach and what I think and what you claim that the Bible says. It's the same thing as our discussions about time for all these years. This is just another subtlety of that.
I keep thinking of that scripture where it says, what do we say then? Is God then a minister of sin? Then Paul answers, is God forbid? That's what I'm saying.
It's not saying that any of us ever do this right, and that we don't, but it's God forbid that I would in any way excuse it. I mean, I excuse it in the children. I mean, that's... Is there anything left in there?
I'm just trying to digest the whole thing, what's happened, because when I spoke, it certainly wasn't too... in my mind, the complete opposite of everything we believe. So now that it's been declared that way, it's hard to know what I'm even saying.
Well, the thing that got me was, whether these were your words or not, but, well, I'm just going to go live my life, and then God's going to use everything.
Well, I didn't, the first part certainly wasn't the predicate. But the second part is that God reveals himself in everything. And to me, to be to think because you're on the mercy seat that you're closed in and now you can't see or look at anything.
Now, I've never said that, and I've never even implied that.
No, but I was hearing something that was implying that it could be seen that way. I mean, you're just reading scriptures. I mean, you weren't
right
doing anything.
But what it happened in that is that this whole thing, in me, when you said what you did, it excused again rebellion. It crucified the Son of God afresh. That's how serious it was for what I heard.
Well, knowing me, I'll just have to wait and see what it is. I don't.
Well, I urge you to listen to this.
I really don't know how to listen to this stuff.
Just go to the website and hit.
Well, I've got to fix my computer.
All right. Well, is there anybody in here that you trust?
Trust anybody.
Well, then talk to them and see how they heard what you said.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. I don't. This isn't about us. This is about you and me.
Yeah. I don't even think it's about me right now. But
feels like it.
Sometimes it is.
All righty. Anybody else? Take a big guy. I got to go to a cat.
I'm just going to leave early today.
I got to go. Hey.